following the book of Judges. Of course, this happened, as I understand, during the time of the Judges. Let's start reading in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, which is the meaning of the name, "My God is King." Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, pleasant. David used this word when he later on spoke of his relationship to Saul's son, Jonathan. Their relationship together was pleasant, based on thoughtfulness and love for one another. The name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. This is strange. One means sick and the other means pining. It's almost a premonition of what's coming. These two sons of Naomi. They came into the country of Moab in verse number 2 in the last part and continued there. Now Moab, of course, is on the southern area of Israel. Moab is the name of Lot's oldest son. God gave this land to Lot's son, his eldest son. And of course, he gave the country east of the Jordan, which was called Amnon, to Ammonites, who were also the son of Lot, his second son, both, of course, born by his own daughters when they made him drunk. But God was very gracious to these two, because we read in the Bible that Job, though he wasn't in a very good place, he was a righteous man. And God gave these two regions to the two sons of Lot. And they fled down to Moab. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. Of course, this book is named after Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion both died, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She has none of her family left. She has no children other than these two boys. She has no grandchildren. They had no sons or daughters. So Naomi is alone in a strange land, land of Moab. This was, by God's grace, a land that God gave to the sons of Lot, but it was also under a curse. If you've never read this in the Old Testament, the Bible clearly defines that the Moabites could not enter into the temple. They were forbidden. They were under a curse. So here's a woman, Ruth. She is the daughter-in-law of Naomi, living in a strange land. I'm talking about Naomi's living in a strange land with Ruth, her daughter-in-law. She was married to Naomi's first son. I want to preach today, the title of my message, I've chosen from the subject in the book of Ruth, which is so prominent, the providence of God and the grace of God. Two of the characteristics of God that are prevalent throughout the Bible is grace, of course. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lot found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All through the Old Testament, we find those who were given grace. And in this particular book, it'll be the same. Ruth will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But before we get to that part, this book provides a record of King David's genealogy. Chapter 4 of Ruth, look in verse 13, just looking ahead a little. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Now she had no kinsman, she had no one left. They were all gone. That his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. The people are rejoicing because though Naomi was left with nothing as far as her husband and her sons was concerned, and you'll find as you read this book, she was in bitterness about it. But the providence of God is a wonderful subject because one thing it'll teach you when you understand and study the providence of God, don't give up too quick. Don't judge things hastily. Wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. Now turning back to chapter 1, verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now she left. Elimelech left because there was a famine. They didn't have any bread. They were hungry. They went into Moab. Verse 7, wherefore she went out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went out on the way to return into the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, you don't see this much many times in relationship between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. But this is a special event. Verse 10, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb? That they may be your husbands? And this is human thinking. Verse 12, turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Notice, if you would, the attitude of Naomi. She's lost her family. She's in a strange land. She's heard that there's bread now back in Bethlehem. Have you ever studied the name of Bethlehem? It means the house of bread or the house of the Lord. And she's determined to go back to her homeland. The two daughters have determined to go with her. Verse 13, would you tarry for me till they have grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Very touching. You hear that used sometimes in marriage ceremonies. Very similar to what God ordained back in the book of Genesis. Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Is this pleasant? Is it that loving person, that cheerful person that has always had a good word? Is this Naomi? That's what the word means. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And remember when Israel came out of Egypt, one of the first things that they had problem with was water. And they came to a pool of water, but it was bitter and they couldn't drink of it. And the Lord showed them a tree, and they cast the tree into the water, and the water was made sweet. But they named that place Mara. Now this is what it's talking about. She said, don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me bitter. Because the Lord, the Almighty, hath afflicted me. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, the beginning of the barley harvest. What's involved in all of these events that we've read about? What is God doing? They fled down to Moab for bread. They needed it. There was a famine in the land. Who caused the famine? I do know that Romans 8:28 was not written when Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons went down into Moab. They had never read Paul's words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But nonetheless, we see the hand of God working in this. They didn't know what was going to happen. They did not receive what happened with the right attitude. As far as Naomi's concerned, she got bitter. She was bitter. She said, the Lord, the Almighty, hath dealt or testified against me, and he hath afflicted me. He took my sons and he took my husband. And all I have left is this daughter-in-law who is cleaving to me, wants to go with me. But beloved, when you think about the providence of God, think of it this way. God's in control. God's working things behind the scene that we're not aware of. God's working things for his glory. And we're going to be the recipient of it if we love God, if we're called according to his purpose, and if you're saved, you've been called for that purpose. So we see the providence of God took them down into Moab. This is not the end of the story of God's providence, but I want to leave it just a moment and look at the other subject that's so mighty in this book, and that's the grace of God. Going into chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, and the man of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. His name was Boaz. As I said earlier, this book provides a record of the genealogy of David, how he would be born. You find it strange that it begins in the city of Bethlehem, goes down into Moab, ends up back in the city of Bethlehem. David was born of Bethlehem. That was his birthplace, if you remember the scriptures. Well, they had to go back to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. But in chapter number 2, in verse 3, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Her hap, you know what the word hap means? It means that God has brought something into her life deliberately, purposely. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. She's working for Elimelech's family. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto the servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" But what a love story this is. Better than anything man ever wrote about. Who is this damsel? The servant was over the set the reapers, answered and said, "It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Verse 7, and she said, "I pray thee, let me glean and gather among the reapers and among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She was a good worker. She was laboring because they had need. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hold thou not my daughter, or hearest thou not my daughter. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." You see the providence of God? Why was Boaz attracted to this young woman? What caused him to look upon her with favor? God's providence is working in her life. Read further in verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Go not to glean another field." Verse 9. "Let thine eyes be on the field that where they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" He's already protecting her. "And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." He's providing for her water. She'll need it. Now notice verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" The grace of God, the providence of God, these two attributes of God that are so prominent in this book have brought her to Boaz, the kindred of Elimelech, who will become her kinsman redeemer. He'll redeem all that she lost when her husband died. He'll redeem all that Naomi lost when her husband died. "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. I've been made aware of what you've done. You've left the land where you were born. You've left your people. And you've come with this woman to a land." But notice the next verse. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Do you see what's happening? Naomi's bitter. Possibly Ruth could be too. They have a tough lot right now. No husband to provide. No father to provide. They've come back into the land of Naomi's nativity. But Ruth has left the land of her nativity and her people and her gods, and she's come to abide under the wings of the Almighty, the God of Israel. Verse 13, "Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, that for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Again, the grace of God, the favor of God is working in her life. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. He's offered her water. He's given her food to eat. He's commanded his young men not to touch her. Verse 15. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men. I love this portion of scripture. You talk about the providence of God, the grace of God working together. Notice this. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let her go right in among the sheaves. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. Drop her handfuls along the way. Don't make her have to pick it out of the flax or out of the stalks. Drop her a handful as you go along. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She had a great sackful here. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, brought forth and gave her to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? What's going on here? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Why did he take knowledge of her? Can you see what I'm trying to say to you this morning? Beloved, God's working in all things. But in particular instances, God's working in the life of those that he loves. The ones that he knows their name, God's working to make their life better. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Accidentally? No. By the providence of God. Taken right to the field where Boaz, who's a rich man, would take care of her and provide her needs. And Ruth the Moabitess in verse 21 said, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any of the field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean after the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You see the providence of God. You see the grace of God. Why? What was it about Ruth? She was a Moabite. She was under a curse in a sense. She couldn't go into the temple of the Lord. She was that cursed tribe of the Moabites. Remember when the high priest went into the tent? Remember old Balaam, how he taught the people to sin? And brazenly, boldly, come right into the camp and went into a tent. And you know why they went into a tent? And the high priest went in after them and stabbed both of them through the stomach. And God commended him highly for what he did, because these people were under a curse. And he was going into them. He was not to go into a woman of this nation. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, let me go to glean ears of corn in whose sight I shall find grace. She's looking for grace. Do you see that? She's going out to glean the corn looking for grace. Do you see in verse 10 what she found? Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? What was it about her that drew Boaz to her? Do you understand the providence of God? He doeth according to his will among the armies of heaven. He doeth according to his will on earth. He doeth whatsoever he hath pleased. God's providence is the instrument that he uses to control events and bring things into our life to bless us because he loves us. That is true in the life of Ruth and Naomi. You see in verse 12, she finds more grace. The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She finds abundant grace in verse 14. At mealtime, come hither and eat of the bread and dip the morsel in the vinegar. He reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed and left. He's providing her water. He's providing her food. He's providing her protection. That's grace. She didn't deserve it. Everything in her background denied it. She was not of God's chosen people. She was outside the nation of Israel. But in verse number 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin, one of our next kinsmen. You see the providence of God working? She not just fell into the field of one Boaz, but Boaz is the next of kin to Naomi's husband. And that's going to work to bring about the recovery of all that they lost. When Elimelech died down in Moab, when Chilion and Mahlon died down in Moab, they've lost all of their holdings. They lost everything they had. But here's a next of kin. Here's a kinsman. And in the last part of verse 20, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. The kinsman redeemer comes from the book of Ruth. You know, this is the eighth book in the Bible. And it's the first one named after a woman. The other, of course, is Esther. They're both providentially provided. They're used of God. In Esther, she saves the whole nation of Israel. In the book of Ruth, God uses this Moabite woman, brings her under his wing, and uses her to bring King David into the world. He didn't have to do that. But you learn it's God's ways if you look at these things. His providence was working in the famine when they were forced to leave their land. His providence was working when Elimelech died. Yes. Sometimes the things that we think are the worst are actually a provision of God to bless us with. It was working also when her two sons died. Now, Naomi didn't understand that. Neither do we most of the time. But beloved, when the Bible says in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, we need to apply that to the circumstances that come into our lives. We don't need to go off by ourselves somewhere and start crying and complaining. We need to believe God. He said he'd take care of us. While she told the people, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Myra. Call me bitter, because I'm real bitter. The Lord has left me. The Lord has brought terrible things into my life. When you think about this book, follows the book of Judges, a beautiful love story about two people, much like any human beings. There's an attraction there that God provides. He draws Boaz to Ruth. And Ruth responds to that as she sees. You look further through the book. Naomi felt forsaken by the Lord. The word, or the name Obed means serving. Was God going to use Obed to serve him and his purpose when he brought Ruth to this man, Boaz, and they had a child? We read that in the end of the chapter. They had a son, and his name was Obed. He was serving. And what did he serve in the purpose of God to do? Well, he was the grandfather of David. And through the coming together of these two people, oh, beloved, there's so much here. I weep that I can't seem to really be able to portray it to you like I want to. And this is rich with the person of God, with who he is, what he does, and how he works in our lives. And yet so many times we're ignorant of it because we don't really believe what God shows us plainly in his word. In these four chapters, there's a great revelation of God. David, the king of Israel, would be brought into existence through this union of these two people. A man after God's own heart, a man who wrote so many psalms, a man expressed in so many ways the grace of God. Now let's turn again to chapter number 3 and look at the scene here. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now it is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Look at the wisdom of Naomi. "Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet." What a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. "Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And he said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Now look in verse number 7. "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly and uncovered his feet." You know why the Bible teaches us to study to show thyself approved unto God? You know why the Bible encourages us to read? And Peter says, "Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." In a sense, what are we doing? Same thing that Ruth did here. We're getting near to him. The picture is here of her uncovering his feet. But notice what happens. Verse 8, "It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She used that relationship through Naomi to her husband to ask of this man that he might spread his skirt over her. There's such depths in this. As far as our relationship to the Lord in the church, the things that he's offered unto us, the things that we have the responsibility and the privilege of doing in the Lord's church, knowing him, growing closer to him, understanding him better, serving him with a vigor, asking him for the things that we need. How many times did he tell us, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking? But do we take advantage of it? Well, she did. Verse 12, "Now is it true that I am thy near kinsman? However, there is a kinsman nearer than I." So he took it upon himself. He didn't have the right of a near kinsman immediately, so he took it upon himself. to confront the near kinsman that he might do the things that he wants to do. Notice, if you would, chapter 4, verse 1, "And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." In other words, he couldn't buy it until this first redeemer refused it. Don't you see the providence of God? See how God works things out? Read further, verse 5. "Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." They had no children. So you have to buy Ruth also. Verse 6, "And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mire my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right thyself, for I cannot redeem it." So he gave him permission to do what he wanted to do. Verse 8, "Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, your witnesses this day, that I bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, from the gate of his place, your witnesses this day." What a beautiful picture of the intimate details God will go into to bring about what he wants out of us. You know, I think back on my life and all that's happening, the things that next week we'll observe our anniversary service. And I know you weren't there and you don't understand a lot of it. But beloved, when you know the providence of God has worked in your life and worked in your life and worked in your life, and without it, you wouldn't be where you are. Then you'll understand the significance of this little book. God's providence and God's grace working intermittently together to bring about the purpose of God that he determined before the foundation of the world. We know that. We believe that. This was not something that just happened. This was according to the design of God. He wanted it this way. Verse 13, "So Boaz took his wife," or took Ruth, "and she was his wife. When he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman." Who was really blessed to this? Who was more happy about it than anybody? You'll notice further, in verse 16, "And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it." She had no children left. She had no grandchildren to hold in her arms until God worked. And in his providence, he brought this about. And while God was working, Naomi was bitter when she started. But where do you think Naomi is now? Can you imagine what it was like to hold that grandbaby in her arms and know that God had given her back all that she had lost, and even more? The women, her neighbors, in verse 17, gave it a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi," and they call his name Obed, which is serving. He's serving the purpose of God. He's serving to comfort Naomi. He's serving to undo everything that they felt so bad about. God is working, and this man's name is serving. Now notice, he's the father of Jesse, the father of David, David's grandfather. Not just any baby born in obscurity, but a specific one born for the purpose of God. You'll notice, verse 22, "And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." Now go to Matthew, chapter number 1, if you would, please. I'll bring the message to a close. First chapter of Matthew, verse number 1. the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Notice the genealogy that Matthew gives of the Lord Jesus Christ goes back immediately to David. You see, all these things had to be worked out. God was going to bless a woman who loved her mother-in-law so much that she wouldn't leave him. He blessed that. God was going to bless Naomi, who had lost so much, and she was full of grief for all that she had lost. And God's going to give her back hope in the form of a little baby that she could hold in her arms, knowing that he has been a part of the redemption that she has now. All the things that Abimelech lost have been recovered through Boaz. All that caused so much grief to her heart has been removed by the providence of God and by the grace of God. That's the two thoughts I wanted you to get out of this message today. Don't be discouraged about things that come into your life. I know it's hard not to be. But if you follow the pattern that God gives us in his book, and we know. Well, as Tim said this morning, the things you've heard and seen, do. If we know this, then it should help us to react properly to anything that comes into our life. Because we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. And please use it to encourage the church, encourage the members, Lord, that we might be faithful to you until the Lord comes. We might understand your ways and how that, though we don't understand them, and many times we're hurt and upset by the things that happen, we know that you're never in error, but you always do that which is right. May it comfort us to read these stories and know these facts, that you will in the end bless us for Jesus' sake. I pray in his name. Amen.